From our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord God, we do not presume to come to you before you trusting in our own righteousness, but in your great and abundant mercies. Revive our faith, we pray. Heal our bodies and mend our communities, that we may evermore dwell in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Isaiah.
A reading from 1 Kings. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands to heaven. He said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and steadfast love for your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Likewise, when a foreigner who is not of your people Israel comes from a distant land because of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, your mighty hand, and your outstretched arm. When a foreigner comes and prays towards this house, then hear in heaven your dwelling place, and according to all that the foreigner calls to you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, and so that they may know that your name has been invoked on this house that I have built. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 96 responsibly. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord.
Declare God's glory among the nations and God's wonders among all peoples.
For
all the gods of the nations, they are but idiots, idols. But you, O Lord, have made the heavens. Ascribe to the Lord your families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before the Lord, all the earth.
Glory
to the Father. Amen. A reading from Galatians. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ, and in turning to a different gospel. Nor that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, let that one be accursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you have received, let that one be accursed. Am I now seeking a human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly, and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them. But when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, that's a nice little story that we get as we start this long season of after Pentecost. Almost 6 months of this season of the church year. Sometimes this season is called ordinary time. Not ordinary in same old, but ordinary in the sense of ordinal, numbered, because we number out the weeks and we listen in an ordered fashion. The gospel this season, this year is the Gospel of Luke, so we will read Luke's gospel Sunday after Sunday, hearing the stories of faith and focusing on our own growth in faith and in discipleship. So you'll be seeing green for a long time, but think of this green as the season of growth. The season of growth of the church in the early days as we remember these stories, but also a season for us to grow in our own understanding of our relationship with God. So we hear this wonderful little story. A few short verses tell this story of an amazing growth in faith. This Roman centurion, a soldier, a Gentile, in charge of 100 men, centurion. He's clearly not Jewish, so he sends some Jewish leaders to ask Jesus to come and heal his servant. These elders from the local synagogue have no problem going to Jesus on behalf of this soldier, who was a man both powerful and generous. In fact, that's the approach they use when they come to Jesus. You know, he's worthy of this. It says he is worthy to have you do this for him, for he loves our people, and it is he who built our synagogue for us. So they cut to the chase. Come on, Jesus. He deserves it. He's a good guy. And you know, he's treated us well, and he deserves to have you do it. You know, do this favor for him. He's a nice guy. Luke doesn't tell us why Jesus went. Why did Jesus go? Maybe his heart was moved with compassion for the sick servant. Maybe he was just curious. Wonder what, you know, this Roman soldier, so enamored with this slave of his that he's going outside the boundary, you know, asking Jesus, whom he's never met, that he's just heard about, asking him, maybe you can do something. Maybe Jesus is curious. Maybe it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's the side I fall on. Maybe it's the work of the Holy Spirit who pushes Jesus because of the result, not only of the miracle healing, but of the example of faith that we get. Jesus and his followers are almost there to the centurion's house when the man sends another group of people, some other friends, come to Jesus, and they say with a new message, "Don't come. Lord, don't trouble yourself. I am not worthy." So they're quoting the soldier, "I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I didn't presume to come and ask you myself. But only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I understand authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to one, come, and he comes, and to another, go, and he goes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I understand." He has an understanding of the authority that Jesus has, because he knows what it is to be not only under authority, but to have authority over others. This scripture is a difficult scripture for people who have a hard time not judging the worthiness of someone who's asking for something, the worthiness of someone making a request. Here we have a centurion, a Gentile non-believer. And not only is he the kind of the hero of the story, he recognizes Jesus' authority in a way that escapes everybody else. But then we have Jesus making this response that is way over the top. He says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that had followed, Jesus said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I seen such faith." It would be amazing for the crowd to hear this, that Jesus would say this. So it'd be like Doris to the choir that shows up week after week after week, faithful singers, and then somebody comes in and she goes, "Wow, I've never heard such a, you know," and they go, "Wait a minute, you know, we've been here all the time, you know, what about us? And what about us? What about our faith?" Because Jesus is pointing to this person who's a non-believer. And he says his faith is beyond anything. But I think we miss the point if we focus our attention on the centurion only. This is the guy that doesn't even show up in the story. He's always off stage. He sends messages, but we never meet him. He sends others to talk to Jesus, but he doesn't go himself. Others tell Jesus about his good deeds. They quote his humility and his faith. But here's the interesting thing. Jesus doesn't turn to the crowd and to the disciples who are following him and say, "You all should be like that." Jesus doesn't say, "You should have faith like he has." He only stands and says, "Wow, this guy has faith." He's simply amazed, and he gives him praise. I'm going to suggest that today we look not at striving to be faithful like the centurion, but striving to follow the example of Jesus, who gives recognition and praise for the faith and humility of others. I'm going to ask for a show of hands. Raise your hand if there is someone in your family or your circle of friends, someone you love, who doesn't go to church. Do you know somebody that doesn't go to church? Okay, I thought so. I thought so. We hear so much about this growing number of people who check the box when it comes to religious affiliation. They check the box that says none. And this is the only denomination, if you want to call it that, that is growing. In the last census, all of the mainline churches took a dip in number of people and adherence to the faith. All Christian and non-Christian churches across the board, everyone lost except none. The nuns are growing in number. That and the other favorite, spiritual but not religious. That's my favorite. Now I'm going to show my sinful nature by telling you this, but and I know it's my bias, but I find it hard not to wish that those people were with us, that those people were, those folks who are sitting out of belonging to a faith community, I wish they would find a faith community somewhere. I wish those people would find themselves gathering with other people of faith on a regular basis. To me, living with none and as your community looks to me like rather selfish or individualistic, missing out so much. And we miss out too. We miss out when people say, my way, alone, no mutuality. That really misses it for me. I don't understand how a community can be lived like that. What I want to say is, join us. We need you here. We're missing you. We're missing you at this family meal, gathered around this community of faith. We miss you. Your talents and your gifts need to be shared. We're poor for your absence. We're not as strong and healthy a family of faith as we could be with your presence here. That's what I want to say to these people. But here's the thing. Jesus, in this story, Jesus doesn't say, you should be humble and faith-filled like this man. Jesus instead steps back and stands next to us in this crowd of observers and says, wow, that guy has faith. And that's what we're invited to do, to look in amazement and gratitude at the faith of those who aren't here. I asked you to raise your hands before if you know someone you love that doesn't go to church. I wanted to ask you to raise your hands again to this question. Do you love someone who is not a churchgoer, who does good deeds? Someone who checks the none box of religious affiliation, but cares deeply about God's creation and the people of God? Do you know anybody that's not a Christian that does good deeds? Or that's not a churchgoer that does good deeds? Yeah. I'm thinking today that this is the reason that the story is recounted by all of the gospel writers, three of the gospel writers. Just because this man is in the Roman army doesn't mean that he's incapable of doing good deeds. Clearly, he already has. He built the synagogue for the people in the church. The Jewish leaders recounted his good deeds to Jesus. Given that he was well acquainted with these leaders, we shouldn't be surprised that he's heard also about Jesus, and he's eager to ask Jesus for help concerning his favorite servant. And this makes for a complex situation. He's a Roman centurion, and he's a man who does good for the Jewish community. He's part of the occupying force that's oppressing the country, Israel, and he builds a synagogue for the town people who are under his authority. We really can't judge a person by only one attribute or by one element of who they are. We need to have the whole story. Jesus commends the faith of this Gentile soldier, even though we have no particular reason to believe that he ever became a follower of Jesus. He's never mentioned again. We have no sign that he asked to follow Jesus. He doesn't come rushing out after his servant is healed and claim or proclaim Jesus as the Messiah, the chosen one of God. But he acknowledges the faith acknowledges the authority of Jesus. And that's the astounding faith that Jesus praises. So today, maybe we can step back from our judgments and give God thanks for all of those nuns and spiritual but not religious people in our lives. We can pray that God would use them to do God's will in the world, whether they recognize God in their lives or not. And we can pray that we have the courage and the grace to thank them for their good works and share our faith that God loves them and that God is using them for His will. And maybe we can pray for ourselves too. We can pray that God would open our ears and our eyes to see that God's love, God's work, extends beyond the walls of our church, the walls of any denominational boundary. You know, God is always stepping over our carefully drawn lines, our carefully delineated boundaries, and invites us to stand with Him and be amazed and give praise for the faith and for the good works of those, of all of His children, those who are with us and those who are not with us. Amen.